Hey, real quick, I just wanted to let you know that Gabba Gabba Huh is now a record store. Well, not really a store, but a booth at an antique store located in Eastridge Mall in Gastonia, North Carolina. Vintage Village is three stores down from Dillard's on the left. And my booth is on the left side of Vintage Village. It's the one with all the records. You can't miss it. I've got over 1,000 records, toys, t-shirts, DVDs, VHS, all kinds of stuff there. So come check it out. Gabba Gabba Huh Records and Vintage Goods, located in Vintage Village at Eastridge Mall, Gastonia, North Carolina. You are now listening to the Gabba Gabba Huh Talks podcast, where we bring you conversations with people connected to the Carolinas underground music scene. Your host, Mike Phillips of Van Huskins.
All the time anyway, so I just think
I was telling John about that before. If I ever do another Fat Tortoise show, and I'm gonna get everybody together, and it's gonna be like a professional style deal, and gonna be drinking, no smoking, no drinking, no nothing, and we only gonna practice one or two times before we do a show. We ain't gonna do this
horrible.
Ain't gonna do this damn 15 practices just to do a show.
Yeah.
Because I figure, hell, we're all seasoned musicians. We don't need to be all up each other's ass for, 40 practices. I think that's what's wrong with bands these days, or bands in North Carolina. We got this work ethic where we have to practice three times a week. Why?
I wish I had time to do that. Once a week for me is kind of hard sometimes. But we've got a new project we're working on right now, me and Eric, and more than likely the drum is going to be coming up from Columbia, so more than likely we're going to be doing every other week. And I'm like, that shouldn't be a problem. We all
again,
know how to play.
You know the songs, how to play, so why?
So hopefully,
like I told him, I said, Kiss don't do practice. Hell, they live across the world from each other,
I always look at it like...
they just get together to do a tour. That's it.
You know, our dads want to go play golf.
Yeah.
I don't play golf.
Yeah, good.
On the weekends, I play rock and roll.
Well, we're back today. We got, tagged as Nazis. Had to fix that quick.
Oh, yeah. Remember, y'all did the...
we burned the Nazi flag in front of the Nazis.
Well, you also did, didn't y'all do...
we done a screwdriver song.
What screwdriver song did y'all do? What do you remember?
I got it recorded. But we didn't pass it out.
Right?
We didn't pass that. But
that's funny, though.
The Nazis started coming once they found out we were doing it.
Biggie Stardust did one. It was
all them dudes from Hickory.
Something about when they were dressing, how they dressed.
Kept showing up to all them shows.
We had a bunch of Nazis coming.
Your guys' shows.
But I told everybody in the band, I don't want this Nazis tag. We were just doing it for a joke, And what happened was we started, and I just told everybody in the band, I said, dude, we got to set the Nazi guys straight because I don't want to be a Nazi band.
Who is the black drummer?
Douglas Spears.
See,
I know him.
He's still playing.
Oh, hell yeah.
He played still in the same room, probably.
He played Deviant.
Mysterio Arc, yeah.
Yeah.
I still try to talk to him, but he never answers his phone.
Yeah, Doug was at the room when we were over there.
Yeah. Yep. Well, yeah, me and him hung out all the time. But yeah, back to the, that Nazi thing. We just, like I said, we burn a Nazi flag in front of all the Nazis. I figured that's the best way to, get them off of us. But yeah, we fixed that pretty quick. Like I said, we just burned a Nazi flag. I figured I'd fix it, which it did. Because we had yuppies, jocks.
Well, you also burned an American flag, too.
We burned an American flag. Seabass done that.
You set him on fire. Ha, ha, ha.
He went to the hospital one time.
Yeah.
I ain't never seen when you burn yourself, that's that big scar on my hand now, where I got a grease fire, and it just tore my whole hand up. And you get those big grease blisters, right? And, dude, sea bass have one that looked like a football on his stomach.
He was always playing with fire, man.
Oh, hell yeah.
That was his thing.
Well, I started blowing fire. But yeah, Seabass just didn't care. Back then, he was the craziest one out of everybody.
Oh, what was your name, by the way?
Chad.
I recognize you from shows. I've seen you out of shows and stuff, so that's probably just where you recognize me from. Yeah.
Anyway. I hadn't been to shows in so long. Yeah. I can't get out, man.
I haven't been to a show in Charlotte. I can't even tell you, man.
Oh, really? It's been a while since you've been out.
It's been a long.
You look familiar to me, too.
DRI.
It's been a while for me.
Yeah, DRI was the last show we went
to. Well, maybe I saw you at DRI then. Maybe we probably were, I don't know.
Oh, I love DRI, man. I think three or four of their shows. I saw them with Body Count.
I saw that at Rocky's.
I got to hang out with. That's why I'm wearing DR.
Yep.
From 96.
Yeah.
This is from 96. I got it from Kurt, the singer, at Jeremiah's. Hmm. Yeah.
Is that with the Acid Bath?
That was the Acid Bath show, I think.
Yeah.
And matter of fact, Phil bought this, and I traded it for him for something. And I've had it ever since. I can't believe it losing the drunk brawl or something somewhere, but... Luckily, I still got it.
All right. Well, let's go ahead. I guess we can go ahead and get started.
That's fine.
And so today I'm talking to James Sane from Fat Tortoise Butcher, or that's probably where most people would know you from.
Oh, yeah, of course. Well, I'm still doing it.
Half-assing
doing it.
And I got Johnny Dick here.
Chad.
And so we're going to talk about Fat Tortoise Butcher and what James has done throughout life. And I told you what I always like to start the podcast off with is that question about an early musical memory, something about music that just kind of jumped out at you and stuck with you all these years.
I got stuck with my mom at a biker party, and I was a kid, and that's where I got into metal, let's put it that way.
Okay. How old were you?
Oh, my goodness. I had to be like 9 or 10, maybe, like that, like a kid. And she wanted to get rid of me. So she had one of her biker friends drive me to my grandmother's house. And the whole way there, we drove home in an old Maverick, which I remember easily. Mm-hmm. And because those were a big deal back in the 70s. And he was listening to Black Sabbath, Heaven and Hell, the Dio.
Yeah.
Sabbath. And man, I just loved it. And it was on 8-track too, which is even funnier. And when he let me out of my grandmother's house, he gave me the Black Sabbath Heaven and Hell and gave me AC/DC High Voltage on 8-track. And from then on, that's all I done. I listened to those two tapes like this religiously.
Yeah.
So, and that's where it started.
It's weird. Like, people, we're at that generation where we... Like 8-tracks. Nobody knows what an 8-track is. You know, and it's like that was our cheap. You know, like because there was a lot of like bootleg 8-tracks.
From the flea market.
Whatever. And it's just so weird that was big old box of plastic.
Mm-hmm.
Is, because mine was Van Halen 1, straight up fucking bootleg.
Yeah.
And it was, and the other one was African Bambaataa.
Yeah.
Soul Sonic Force.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was a fucking 8-track. And it sucked too, because, like, on track 2, it'll cut off. Click to track 3 in the middle of the song.
Yeah.
Heaven and Hell on Black Sabbath. The song Heaven and Hell cut in half.
Yeah.
Drove me crazy.
Yeah. That was one of the drawbacks of 8-tracks.
Drove me crazy. Yeah, it would fade out and fade back in.
Sometimes they would resequence the 8-tracks so it wouldn't do that, so the order of the songs would be different than they were on the record.
Finally got it on album, so.
Yeah,
I stepped up to vinyl pretty fast. Hell, I still got a decent amount of vinyl. I try not to make too much of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Plus, that shit's expensive now, man.
It is. Trust me, I deal with it all the time.
You sell all that stuff, so.
But, especially new stuff is just ridiculous. And, old stuff, too. But Old stuff's a lot more reasonable, except for certain things are expensive, the originals.
I bought the new Dying Fetus. There are certain albums I just got to buy on vinyl. I got the new Dying Fetus, what was it, about a month ago. That some bitch was like $42.
Yeah, it's getting
for a record.
Yeah. But like $50 is kind of my limit personally to buy a record. But even it's like it hurts so much to pay more than $20 for a record. I'm like, really?
You know, remember I asked you about the Slayer stuff?
Yeah,
I've got a ton of Slayer, like picture discs, bootlegs on vinyl, and I've got some vinyl I've never even seen. I bought it from Dana Duffy from Demonic Christ back in the 70s, back in the 90s.
Back in the 90s, yeah.
And I've never seen them anywhere. So I have a feeling they might be worth some money.
Probably so.
Yeah. I got two of those, and I got, you know, just all kind of Slayer stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm real bad about buying Slayer shit. That's my go-to thrash, man, dude. That's my favorite. So
A-Tracks were part of my upbringing too. Definitely, some of my earliest memories of listening to music was putting in an A-track and putting it in and pulling it back out.
I thought about putting one in my van.
Yeah,
just I had to be nostalgic.
When I was a teenager, I got a Firebird Esprit. It wasn't one of the cool ones, but I had a Pontiac Firebird that had an 8-track player in it, and I drove around listening to Frank Zappa 8-tracks. I went to a music store in downtown Gastonia. I don't remember the name of it right now. You probably know it, Johnny. There was some music store that had, it was going out, it was like really in its on its last legs when I was a teenager. But they had some 8-tracks in the back. And
Peaches? Was it downtown?
Yeah, it was downtown.
That sounds familiar.
Peaches. Yeah, that's where we used to get our Kaleidoscope production tickets.
Yeah.
I think I remember that too.
Yeah, it was because it was near Tillman's.
Downtown.
But
that's what I picked up a few 8-tracks there, and like the coolest things I had were Frank Zappa, and that's what I drove around listening to.
Man, I hadn't heard Frank Zappa in forever. Don't Eat the Yellow Snow.
Yeah.
Never been a huge fan.
I like some of his stuff. It's cool.
My brother liked him.
I love Frank Zappa. I think he's very interesting. I don't really love all of his music.
Oh, yeah.
But I think I loved him as a teenager. I just thought he was so interesting. I read his book.
He's definitely interesting.
And I really tried to get into his music, and some of it I could, and some of it was just like, what the hell is this shit? What is this crap? What is this?
Well, sometimes he just went on tangents, too, where he just goes so free.
Yeah.
Free wall or whatever.
I've got one of my stereo speakers, I've got a Zappa for President button from.
Oh, really?
It was like the year that he died. It was.
Oh, cool.
I bought it from Infinity. It was, I think, somebody made. It wasn't anything official, but he was talking about running for president that year, and then he got sick.
I think I heard about that.
Yeah.
That's just like I was slamming Tom Waits last night.
Who's that?
Tom Waits?
No. Never mind. I zoned out.
I was going to say, I thought you were a Tom Waits
fan. Oh, yeah. Tom Waits is cool. I was just thinking about the Frank Zappa, the weird shit.
Tom Waits is weird, too.
Well, yeah, but everything you hear from him, you're not going to get disappointed.
The only time I don't like Tom Waits is when he does the real slow, draggy stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, even if it's
upbeat, I love anything.
If you're in the right mood, it hits you. But like Frank Zappa, I think it's like everything I've ever heard, it's always been his weird shit. And I'm like, what the fuck is this?
What's the damn song I love the best? Was I done forgot. My memory's went to shit lately, by the way. Yeah.
I'm terrible with song names, too, so.
I can't remember it. You'd know what it was if I could think of one verse.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll get back on track.
Okay, sorry.
That's fine. No, I like
I trail off all the time.
Well, the cool thing I really love when I have a bunch of people in the room and it's not just me and one other person, because I like all the little side conversations that come up. But I think it makes for a more interesting podcast.
Well, I do sidetracks just by myself. Trust me, I do.
So you got those 8-tracks, kind of got into metal music. When was it that you decided you wanted to play an instrument? And were there any instruments in the house when you were a kid?
My grandfather, his name was Whitey Hartman, and kind of a funny story was, he was a big country music promoter at Lake Norman Music Hall.
Mm.
I don't know if you remember that or heard about
it. I've heard about it, yeah.
Well, he got Hank Williams down there.
Yeah, yeah.
like all the big greats of country. And he also he run a fish camp. So he'd take them all free, you know, old school southern fried fish and stuff, you know, like Hank Williams and Loretta Lynn. He bought Loretta Lynn a guitar. Mm-hmm. So that was in the background kind of, you know, and my grandmother played piano, but they didn't, yeah, they wasn't into nothing like I'm into.
Yeah, yeah. Usually don't work out that way.
No. But my mom was into, she had like, matter of fact, when my mother died, she, I went through her record collection, and hell, I still got a ton of those, like Black Oak, Arkansas.
Oh, yeah.
Love good it. Stuff. Good love stuff, yeah. It, man. Molly Hatchet, she was into AC/DC, but she was more into like gospel bluegrass stuff.
Yeah.
Because she got all religious there later on. So I just took all of her good records and sold the rest.
Yeah.
Because she had a ton of, you know, that stuff. But I remember one time, my mom also, the only time she ever acted like she cared about me playing guitar was around all of her drunk friends. She made me play China Grove by Doobie Brothers on guitar to her drunk friends.
Yeah. How old were you?
Ooh, about 13 maybe.
Okay. So you were playing guitar by the
time? Oh, yeah. I started about 12 or 13. And by the way, I got it from my grandmother. Okay. She had a old silver tone with the case that had amp in it.
I've got one of those. I've got
you one still have one?
Yeah, I've got one. I need to get the amp working again.
Dude, those things are worth money now. Yeah. Big time.
I bought it for a friend that she asked me if I could help her sell a guitar. Mm. I was like, yeah, bring it over and let me look at it.
What color is it?
It's a black.
Mine was like the red star, sunburst, starburst. It had like the glitter on
it. Yeah, this has got glitter. It's kind of, it's real dull.
I had a black one like that too.
Really?
Yeah.
But, I wish I had another one just to... being
with the tweed,
the shitty case. The case sucked.
No, I mean the tweed going around the guitar.
Yeah, yeah, the binding, the binding. Yeah, dude, mine was a piece of shit.
Yeah, she brought it to the house and she opened the trunk. I said, "Is that what I think it is?"
With the lipstick pickups.
Yeah. And so I asked her how much she wanted for it, and I said, "I'll find you a buyer." And I kept it for about a week, and I said, "I'm buying this thing."
But anyway, that's where I started playing guitar. Mm-hmm. I would just sit up there because I started drinking early because I'd just sit up there with my Budweisers in front of a record player and just noodle.
Yeah.
I never learned how to play guitar. We didn't have YouTube back then. We didn't have no nothing.
Mm-hmm. This is why you was in the attic, right?
Yeah.
Goddamn that fucking attic, man.
That was a great place. And
that's straight out of fucking movies. Shit like that. I would just...
parties and parties and parties and parties. That's where we got to see them.
Most of my teenage years have been in that attic.
Yeah. Got to see a girl piss out the window. That's fun. You don't remember that? It was funny because we pissed off out the window because we were upstairs in the attic, right? So my grandmother was in the back of the house. So nobody could, you know, they couldn't really sneak to the bathroom because it was right next to my grandmother's quarters or wherever she stayed.
Well, the access to your attic was so convenient because it's like as soon as you walk in the front door,
you can go
right
upstairs.
There's the steps to the attic. So
we could, but I'm sure she knew we was partying, but she was kind of deaf too. But yeah, that's the first time I got to, there's a girl just. Had to go piss, and I'm like, well, I don't know what to tell you.
I do.
But we all pissed out the windows.
Yeah. Mind you, this was also in junior high.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Funny story, real quick. Sidetrack. Yeah. My aunt moved in one time, and she was kind of a butthole. And she decided she wanted to clean the gutters out.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you see where that's going. I remember coming home from school, and there was a trail across the whole front of the house of just this big stack of leaves where she done it with like a, we call that little scoop thing. We didn't have leaf blowers, I don't think.
Oh, that poor woman.
That poor woman. Because vomit, piss, beer, whatever went out in that. Yeah. And dude, what was so fucked up I remember walking in the yard and seeing it and going, oh my God. And then it hit my smell. The smell was horrible.
Rotten boiled peanuts.
The sun just boiling down on months and months and months of piss and vomit and beer. And she looked at me real fucked up when I came in. So I have a feeling she knew what was going on there. So yeah, that's where I started playing guitar.
Yeah. When you start playing in a band.
Oh God, I started recording on my own. That was my first thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now we done. Well, me and John fucked around a lot.
Yeah, that was that.
But we sucked. We were horrible.
Yeah,
it was stupid. We never had a singer for some reason.
And, no, that's true. It was the whole.
It was cool.
The beginings. We were just learning how to.
He loves do this.
Yeah, just learning.
John loves this shit. What was it? Badden was one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I came up with this stupid idea to call a band Badden, Baden.
Mm-hmm.
I think I saw it in a dictionary or some shit.
I could have swore it meant like something to do with chaotic noise.
We still don't fucking know.
Like that.
We still don't know.
Still don't know what the fuck it means.
And then I came up with Stonehenge, which come to find out, you know, Spinal Tap. That's before I saw Spinal Tap.
Yeah.
So had a little Stonehenge thing. But the funny thing was, man, I was selling tapes like a motherfucker in high school, but they sucked.
Yeah.
They were horrible. I was selling for like a dollar a piece.
Mm. That's what I think we sold our first tapes for, were like a dollar a piece.
Yeah. And so then that was that. And then I tried and tried and tried. And then I think, since we're talking about Fat Tortoise, we might as well get to that spot.
Mm-hmm.
The reason Fat Tortoise started was me, Sean, Phil, and then we got him in, was we started a band called Hate by Design.
Okay.
Okay. And then we didn't
was
like
it to, Hate by Design?
It was definitely Hate. Yes, I got into it with Flounder over that.
Okay.
Yeah. Flounder ripped that off big time.
Okay.
And again, I don't want to speak no ill will of Flounder. He's a great dude.
Mm-hmm.
But he ripped me off like a son of a bitch on a lot of stuff. Like, there's about several songs you guys did that was mine. Mm. And y'all just changed the lyrics. But I don't care about that shit. I remember coming to see a show of you guys, and I remember telling Flounder, those last three songs sounded pretty familiar to everybody. And that's what he did. He just laughed at me.
Yeah. Thanks, Flound Doggy.
Yeah. But I didn't care. It ain't like we're living in a world where we're making thousands of millions of dollars.
Yeah, really.
But I just always said, man, just give me credit. That's all I want. You know, just say, hey, I got this from Fat Tortoise Butcher or James or something. I ain't, you know, I'm not that damn bitchy about it, but anyways, I just lost my whole thought there. Fat Tortoise started.
Hate by Design.
Hate by Design was, we done that band with Phil, Sean. Sean was on bass, Phil was on drums. We had a guitar.
Phil Chambers.
Yeah. We had a guitar player that was a big whiny bitch, and I'm not going to mention his name. And he was just literally killing the band before we even got out. He was making up stories.
Somebody that still plays around here?
No, I think he lives in California now.
Okay.
He's a cool dude. He just wasn't band material.
Yeah.
He's one of these people.
Yeah.
That's
Yeah, yeah.
But
one of those.
Yeah. Definitely flaky motherfuckers. But no, he was making up stories about, I was dead hell set on getting shows. And I'm like, dude, we got to do some shows. And sure enough, he's just bringing up shit like out of nowhere. Well, what if my kid gets sick? What are you going to do then? Because I was like a tyrant, you know, trying to get shows. And in other words, I was the asshole. And I'm like, dude, why are we doing this if we're not going to do something with it?
Yeah, really.
And anyway, I just finally told Sean and Phil, I said, dude, fuck this guy. I'm going back to guitar. Sean took over vocals.
Mm-hmm.
Phil stayed on drums. And then we got this fucker in there, John. And that's how Fat Tortoise started.
Son. not the middle body man. Got no system, not the middle body man.
Told everybody.
Y'all's first show was at a barn before I joined.
Yeah, it was a barn. That was stupid.
That's when Seabass got his nickname.
Was that like a just like a house just party a or house something?
Thing, yeah. That was the time to die. The dog run off with the dildo. We had a big old like 14-inch dildo, man. This thing was disgusting. Because I used it on a girl before.
Oh god.
Yeah, it was gross. And a dog got a hold of it and took off running through the field.
You know,
that's the one Sean used to use on stage.
Yeah.
And it had dog teeth marks in it.
It had been chewed. It looked like a Nerf
it's
football.
Fucking ridiculous. Ridiculous. Can't make this shit up, dude. But, yeah, that's how Fat Tour started. I just told everybody, I said, dude, I want to get back just basic, just heavy. I don't want to sit here and watch my guitar while I play it, because I used to play all this technical shit. Mm-hmm. And I just want to be able to just throw the hell down and have a good time. And then we finally started getting shows at Milestone. Mm-hmm. And we started blowing the Milestone up. That's where we done all that. And then we started doing great there. We was filling the place up. And then...
Those are some fun shows.
Oh, hell yeah. Those days. Well, I remember... matter of fact, I still got a bunch of those flyers.
Yeah.
About all of them, actually.
Yeah. The Ripple shows.
Yeah.
But, anyways, then my next... I set myself goals.
Yeah.
To where my next goal, I wanted to open for NIC. Hmm. We done conquered Milestone.
Yeah.
So it's time to move on and get into another club.
Now, before we move too further,
okay,
where did the name Fat Tortoise Butcher come from? Mm-hmm. Just
everybody asked. I used to work at a piano factory. Mm-hmm. It was boring as shit, and I tuned pianos. And I kept a notebook, like most songwriters do. They just keep a notebook laying around or a pad.
Write down ideas when you get something.
I'd write down band names because mm-hmm. we never had a band name, and. Like you were talking about that dirt show, the party show. I remember somebody, I think it was Phil, going, dude, if we're going to play this place, we got to have a name. I said, well, I just opened my notebook. Mm-hmm. I don't know where it came from. I just wrote it down. Fat Tortoise Butcher.
It rolls.
And it sticked. It stuck. Yeah. It sticked.
Way to bring out that Lincoln.
Thanks, man. But, no, man, yeah, it just, and I love the acronym. It's an acronym, right? FTB? Ain't that acronym?
I think so.
Is that the right word?
I think that's the right word.
Okay.
Abbreviation.
Abbreviation, whatever, yeah.
I'm pretty sure acronym's right.
But anyway, FTB rolls good, but most people see FTB and they think it says fuck the something.
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't realize that.
Fuck the butt?
Fuck the whatever, but.
The bureaucracy.
But. Yeah, it's like I didn't realize that one. You know, over the years, I realized that's the worst damn Yahoo email you could have, because I learned how to type Fat Tortoise Butcher in my sleep from doing emails.
Well, that's like
all
me
day.
With doing Gabba Gabba Hub, right? I'm like, why did I choose such a long name? Because anytime I type out Gabba Gabba Hub Records.
And another thing I complain about constantly, nobody knows how to spell tortoise.
Yep.
They always spell it tortees without the O. So I say, you need to spell it tortoise. It's tortoise. And every time I go to get a show, I'd have to repeat Fat Tortoise Butcher like four times. Because mm-hmm. they're like, what? What? I'm like, Fat Tortoise Butcher. And then at the time, that's when they were spelling fat with a PH. So I had to tell them, no, it's not PH.
Not PH, yeah.
Because I didn't want to go down that road either, yeah. the rap metal road.
Was it pretty hot and tempting? See, that's an acronym.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, whatever. But I'm just saying that that's where fat it didn't mean shit. That's why our first demo tape, which we had to tell that story about the eBay thing.
Oh yeah.
I saw your post about that recently the other day.
And I talked to the guy on the phone. Mm-hmm. He's from Ohio. He bought out a record store, and I guess he just saw this demo tape. It said the name of it was not what the hell was it called?
Not ain't a, got not a damn a, thing.
Yeah. Ain't got a damn thing to do with killing turtles.
There you go.
Because everybody thought we were turtle killers. Yeah. I was like, okay, well, we got to kill that one, too. So, in other words, I think, hell, just talking to you now makes me think we were completely defending ourselves constantly.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't help the fact that everybody in the band was fat.
Well, that's what I went on, was the fat thing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm the only band, I still stay at this day, I'm the only band you can get a goddamn 10X shirt from. Matter of fact, we are the only band you can get a 10X t-shirt from.
That's awesome.
Yeah. We gotta look out for fat people.
Fucking moo-moo.
But, I'm pretty sure I still got a couple 10X shirts, but and we only charge like $15. Mm-hmm. I only charge. Well, it's only me now, right now.
Yeah,
I'm hoping to get these two fat fuckers in there and do some shit if we get back.
That's
to doing
kind of
shows.
What I was thinking with Johnny here. I was like, this is like a reunion. I mean, it's
well, getting the band back together. He's the original bass player.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's up my ass constantly about, dude, we're gonna do a show. I'm like, dude, I got to get back to where I can do a proper show, man.
Yeah, well,
and
that's what I'm here for, man.
Well,
sorry, that was loud.
But, yeah, it's the Fat Tourist Butcher didn't mean shit.
Yeah, just something
it's came just up. Something came up. I don't know. I don't have no idea. There was other names. I can't remember the other names, but it just stuck, and everybody just got into it, and plus, like you said, it rolls off the tongue. You can't look up Google without being us or me.
That's a sign of a good band.
Oh, man. God, man.
Because there's so many bands that they're great bands, but then they have a name like one of my favorite North Carolina bands is Pipe. But if you type Pipe into Google, you're never going to find that band. Pipe, North Carolina punk rock.
That was from the old Jeremiah days, man.
Yeah, I remember Pipe.
Now there was two Pipes.
Is there a new one?
Well, there was two back then.
Yeah, I think there were two back then, too. Yeah, I think
I thought Aaron, right. I remember them.
Aaron sang in one of them.
Yeah. The one I'm talking about, it's the chap from Chapel Hill. They were a Chapel Hill band.
Different. But, I mean, that's a different
band. There's some other bands like that around here that I think their name, and I'm like, man, nobody will ever find you online.
That's so weird that you said that band today, because I was sitting here thinking about Pipe earlier. Uh-huh. It's just weird.
You know why you was thinking about Pipe.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know me. Pipe dog.
Pipe dog.
Pop down.
That's funny you say that, because I played with the Ferris for about two or three years. Me and Belton, that's another guy. I love him to death. The singer for Nefarious. Nefarious is like the worst name to have. I looked it up on YouTube, and it's like, it's this rap artist and, you know, whatevers and whatevers. There's just tons of Nefariouses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the other thing, is finding a band name. Not only this is just not just too generic to find, but that there would be like a bunch of bands.
By I've even put in the Fairies Band in YouTube, and it's still
it is fine. So fucking hard to come up with the band name, though.
Back in the 90s,
not for me, it ain't.
Well, now it is.
I can do it.
I played in the Accidents back in the 90s, but at a certain point, we changed the name to Los Accidentes. And the reason was just because there were so many other bands called The Accidents out there.
Really?
And we were on, it was on MySpace at the time, but one day I got on there and our page was gone. It basically said something about your page has been removed for copyright violation. And I'd already seen that there were like six other bands called The Accidents on MySpace, so I typed in The Accidents again, and there's only one band left.
Yeah.
And there were bands from like, I forget, Denmark or somewhere like that. They were a good band, but that was when I was like, oh, well, maybe we should just change the name.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just easy to change it to Los Accidentes because we'd always joked about maybe doing that anyway.
Hey, that sounds like a good way to do it.
So anyway, it was just that was a very generic name, but when we came up with it, oh yeah, that works, and it was.
Well, you got to remember that's back before internet, so
yeah, it just wasn't like, and we weren't even thinking more. We weren't thinking beyond locally anyway.
And we don't think about, you know, we're competing with the whole damn world now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a.
There's not a fresh idea out there.
For I bet you there's no Fat Tortoise Butcher anymore.
No, there ain't.
But
if they were, there was somebody that played with me.
The Vivians had to do that because there was a Vivians in Scotland, and they were like, "You need to stop using that name." And they were. That's not their accent, by the way.
It sounded pretty good to me.
I wasn't even paying attention. But, did you make a Scottish accent?
No.
Oh, no, he didn't even try.
I was going to say, I didn't hear it.
I think it came out Hank Hill.
Hey, man, I'm in the Vivians. What's going on, brother?
But, yeah, they like this was MySpace days when they came about, and they're like, oh, you need to cease and desist.
Oh, good Lord.
So now we have to go, if we do anything, it has to be Vivians NC.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's a, Charlatans UK. Y'all remember them back in the 90s?
Definitely.
Yeah. There was one of those shag bands, the Charlatans.
Well, Slayer. Slayer was fighting with the Slayer from San Antonio. Remember that?
Yeah.
And Slayer in San Antonio had to go by Slayer SA. And they actually played a show together in Texas.
There was a North Carolina band called Small that had to change their name to Small 23 because there was another band called Small. So that happened.
Small?
Yeah. Another just terrible band name, like Small.
Small.
They were a great band. And they just
now, I do always recognize a great band name, too. What's that one I wrestled with a bear once? Remember that one?
Oh, dude, the first time I
wrestled with a bear once.
First time I those dudes, their pit was huge and violent. Those kids play hard.
Oh, they're heavy as fuck.
Yeah, I never heard of them until a few years
ago. It's a girl singer.
What's that one? Eat the Turnbuckle?
Oh, yeah, that's a good band.
That's a good band, but it's also a good name.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I
should.
I can't think of none right now. Slaughter to Prevail. That's one of my new favorite bands.
I was wanting to use Throw the Goat, so I'm like sitting here fucking typing.
Yeah, you got to Google before you make a band name now.
Yeah. You got to fucking Google.
You got to Google first.
You know, go everywhere, you know, make sure it's not a fucking porn site, make sure it's not a fucking whatever. But lo and behold, there's a fucking stoner rock band,
hey, just,
obviously, fucking Throw the Goat.
Just like my friend of Chuck shit. A dude sent me a damn thing. There's an album out there. Some cheesy ass looking album cover. It's something along the lines of Friend of Chuck. Something like that.
Yeah.
That's my other band, by the way. That's just me.
Okay.
You ever heard any of it?
No, I don't think so.
Well, let me hook you up with a sick. Do you? I know you still listen to CDs.
Yeah.
See, that's my.
I saw that up there a little while ago, and I was thinking, that sounds familiar, so I'm probably familiar
with it. It's all over my YouTube page.
I just probably haven't heard
but
it.
But it ain't nothing like Fat Tortoise Butcher. Yeah. It's stupid. It talks about a lot of pussy, pretty much.
Who's your biggest fan base?
Lesbians. Lesbians love my Friend of Chuck stuff. All because of a song called Poopy in the Pines.
Bad chick, I rub dicks with a boy named Poopy. Too young to know sex, you won't knock me. You won't knock me.
It's a song that one of my buddies wrote. Lyric wise, I wrote all the music, and I just had to rewrite his lyrics because he writes stories, and like drunken stories. So I just went through the song. I still got a whole notebook of his shit over there. His drunk ramblings. That's what it is. Drunk ramblings.
That's what we're doing right now.
Yeah, pretty much. But
That's what my podcast is.
Exactly.
Dude, anytime you talk to me, all my friends give me shit for just rambling. That's all I do. But anyway, the song was about two little boys.
Oh, shit.
Touching each other's dicks in the bathtub. And the reason it's called Poopy in the Pines is because one of the boys was named Poopy. They called him Poopy. You never heard that song?
That's
y'all?
Crazy as hell. No.
No, y'all?
Never heard it.
But the lesbians love it, dude. I sold about, I think I sold at least 40 or 50 CDs to just lesbians. Seriously. They roam in groups, you know.
Yeah.
Or so I've seen. But I used to go to lesbian parties. They trusted me.
They like me. Your story from earlier.
Oh yeah. I ain't gonna tell that.
Kind of sets the base for that.
I ain't gonna tell that one.
No.
But anyway, yeah, that's my alter ego of Fat Tortoise Butcher. You know, it's.
That's your Mr. Bungle.
But it's not Mr. Bungle. I don't know how to describe it. It's just all. I'll give you a CD, man. I'll let you decide.
Is that Michael Landon on the
picture? Yeah, okay. See, that's the joke of the band. That's another reason the lesbians liked it.
Okay.
It's based on Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah, okay.
Chuck is Charles Ingalls.
Okay. If you would have asked me who wrote Little House on the Prairie, I would have never known him.
Like Laura Ingalls.
Laura Ingalls, yeah.
Laura, see? I have no idea. I don't remember their names or nothing.
in her stories is the first time you hear football being described, American football being described.
I don't remember that one.
That's pretty cool. I mean, because
I will tell you this, when you watch them back to back, that's the most depressing fucking show on the planet.
It is.
Every show.
I've seen it before, obviously, when I was younger. But
well, yeah,
one of those shows I did not like when I was younger.
I loved it, man, when I was a kid.
What about MASH?
I was like, oh God, we're gonna watch this again. I kind of liked it when I was a kid.
I think I
just enjoyed doing something with my dad.
Yeah.
I love Little House on the Prairie.
There must have been something else on when Little House on the Prairie was on that made me hate it so much that I'd rather watch something else.
It all has that same Yeah, it all had that same pace.
Yeah, it just all felt too churchy for me. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Well,
because church and school was in the same fucking building.
Yeah. But Charles Ingalls would kick your ass if he wanted to.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, if he couldn't, he would get that fucking Yeti friend of his.
Yeah. Fuck, well, I don't want to know his name. I shouldn't know his name. Edwards,
yeah.
Something Edwards.
Yeah.
Anyways.
So I don't know where we're going. But
I don't either.
Fat Tourist Butcher, I know like over the years, like Fat Tourist Butcher had different lineups.
Oh, God. But, Mighty Hell, yeah. I can't even remember half the drummers.
But I also don't want to like skip over anything else. Like
we
talked about playing with some other bands. And so wherever you want to go with that, like if you want to talk about.
You're talking about playing with other bands? Or
have you ever played?
Me personally or with other bands? Like opening for bands.
No, like you playing personally.
Nefarious was probably the only one.
Nefarious.
We put out a CD. I played with them for about 2 years. I played a lot of shows with them. And I love playing that band because I didn't have to do shit but play guitar.
Yeah.
In Fat Tortoise, I could do everything.
Yeah.
Every single thing. And, Nefarious was fun because all I had to do was show up and play guitar.
And about what years was that?
Oh my God! Don't ask me about years.
How long ago was that? Let's put it that way.
2011.
Yeah, and after the 12s, around the 2012, around that, yeah.
I'm real bad with dates, dude.
Back when the money was kind of going too.
Anyways, yeah, Nefarious. We done a lot of shit. I finally got to play in Washington D.C. That was cool.
Was that a part of a tour or just like
no? Yeah. We didn't do tours. He called and go, dude, we're playing Thursday. I'm like, okay. See, that's me and John's had this conversation a million times about his Queen City Rejects. I'm sick and tired of playing with people that don't want to do anything. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you've dealt with that too. And that's all I had to deal with Belton. He just called and go, show. I'm like, okay. I didn't care.
That's the best.
That's the best person.
That's the way to be. That's the best way to be in a band. It's just like, hey, we got a show. I'm good. That's why I fucking work in a pizza joint.
Dude, I had a 9-to-5 job. Mm-hmm. And I just tell my job, hey, I got a show coming up. I'm taking off. Luckily, I had vacation days and shit, but.
Yeah.
You know, but I would have got fired. I wouldn't have cared. Mm-hmm. And hell, I had a house on the line. You know, I bought a house.
You bought a house when you were still in high school.
18 years old.
Dang.
Held it for 14 years. But yeah, that's nefarious was probably a main one. My friend it's up thing, that's just a me thing. I just do that like recording wise. But I've sold a shit ton of CDs and shit. So I guess it's lucrative.
Yep.
I would get shirts made, but I don't think nobody wear it.
Who do you think sells more?
Fat Tortoise Butcher? When we done shows, we sold the fuck out of merchandise.
Yeah, yeah.
T-shirts, them FWO shirts went like mad.
Oh, yeah. I remember
that. Fat World Orders. Yeah. That's another one of our big crowd was, like within our scene, we had a big wrestling crowd.
Wrestling fans, yeah.
Yeah. Especially when we put that Fat World Order shirt out. Mm-hmm. That's when all the wrestling fans come running.
You can see it on a fucking
pay-per-views.
When you watch pay-per-views.
You had to distinguish them from NWO shirts, but ours was a little skinnier, so it's kind of easy to spot in the crowd shots.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but we sold the fuck out of them. Sold the hell out of our first CDs. Sold the hell out of our first cassette tapes.
What was the first one? Fat, I can't remember the name.
Fat As We Want To Be. Fat As We Want To Be. Cassette tape. Yeah. Sold the hell out of those. That's the ones with Sean on them. And then after that, we got, I know you know Paul Fenner, Poon Tanglers, mm-hmm. FE26.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the guy I wanted in my band, bad. We got him in there for about 4 months.
Yeah.
And then he just, I don't know, just didn't want to be with us no more. Some good shit with him. Yeah. I mean, but we didn't get none in the studio with him.
Oh, yeah.
Which sucks. But I do got, we played some shows with him, and I loved his stage presence. Mm-hmm. His lyric writing was awesome. I loved his vocal. I still talk to him to this day.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said he'd come down and do some stuff with me if I could get some stuff together for him to do. So me and him still are on good terms. But man, I think we would have whooped ass if we'd had him in the band. Mm-hmm. Like, really got somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
But at first, man, we were just shock value. We was all cutting ourselves and doing crazy.
You know
what I mean? We were like doing fire and doing crazy stuff.
Yeah, there was some kind of like stage.
Like, you know, like Ground Zero let us do anything we wanted.
I remember one time Sean made a potato gun or something and brought it to the show, but it wouldn't go off.
I made the potato gun, but it didn't work.
Now, what was
that? Was Tremont?
That was a Tremont. Yeah.
Now, what was the one that had collard greens in it?
Tremont. That was my idea.
What about the stage collapsing with the popcorn?
I don't remember. It was popcorn.
I think y'all were
marshmallows.
Stuff. It was turkey stuffing.
Maybe that's what
we broke Tremont's Casbah stage.
Oh wow.
Yeah, we broke two stages.
I got a game. I got a game we can play.
What's that?
Myth or truth? You guys ruining ICP's because didn't y'all open for them?
Hell no.
Okay.
Hell no, I wouldn't have fucking done that.
That was a story that I heard.
I hate fucking ICP. I would never even agree with that.
Well, didn't you get who'd you get a show for your Randy?
Oh, Michael Graves.
Yeah.
That fucker canceled on us twice.
Oh, really?
And I didn't give a shit to play with him, but yeah, Randy loved him. Yeah. Our bass player, Randy. He loved him, so I said, fuck it. It was Milestone was one, and Columbia was the other one. He canceled both shows.
The Kill Jesse Helms trouble. Was there any trouble? No?
I know there was a girl that used to come to our show that she said she was his something, some kind of kin to him.
Yeah, niece or something.
Niece or something, niece. Yeah. No, we didn't get no trouble out of that.
Okay.
I wish we would have.
Well, that's what, yeah.
No. Oh, I was always trying to get us in trouble. Always trying.
Yeah. Because trouble's good.
We had a chicken fight on stage once.
That's the other one.
Yeah, that's a damn true. Okay. That's very true. It was me.
Where was this at?
Ground Zero. Because he let us do whatever the hell we wanted. Hell, one night I cooked out 80 hot dogs on stage while we were playing. In between songs,
I've heard that story.
I turned wieners on the fucking grill. We had the big old big grill with the lid. Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I remember buying 80 hot dogs, 80 hot dog buns, or however many you get in the packs. Enough to cover 80 hot dogs. And I bought four things of ketchup. And once they were done, in between the song, I'd stop, go over there, and throw them in the buns. Anybody want a hot dog? And everybody's like, "Aah!" It's probably about 300-400 people there. And I'd hand them out, right? And I'd go, "Anybody want mustard?" And they go, "Aah!" Yeah, I sprayed the crowd with mustard. And dude, one girl got pissed. Man, she got pissed. She's wearing a dress, like a pretty dress. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what the fuck? She gets up on stage in front of me and gets mad and starts cussing me on stage while we're playing. And she goes, said something about her dress. I said, well, why the fuck would you wear a dress in a fucking mosh pit?
Yeah.
A nice dress in a mosh pit. And the whole crowd starts laughing, you know, whatever, gaggling. And she grabbed a fucking thing of mustard and poured the whole damn thing down my back. And I had to sleep at Ground Zero that night in my van covered in mustard.
Oh, shit.
Because we had a show the next night with 6 feet under, I think it was. So I stayed there. I didn't want to drive the length and drive back. So, yeah, I woke up smelling like fucking mustard, man. And drunk and hungover and... It was horrible, dude. And hot dogs. Of course, I ate like a shit ton of hot dogs, too. Plus, I probably had to shit like a horse when I got up.
What about the marshmallow incident?
That was drag queens then, I seen. Oh, goddamn. Drag queens were mad. I went and bought 10 bags, maybe 20 bags of those miniature marshmallows. And what I would do, I'd hand it out to one person in the crowd that I trusted. Somebody I knew, and I'd just hand them out random to everybody else. And I'd tell the one guy, hey, dude, whenever you feel like it, start chunking them at us. And sure enough, and I'd tell everybody else, once you see them going, start. Yeah. We wanted like a whirlwind of marshmallows. Well, I learned that night, don't do that, because I was wearing cat boots, you know, work boots with the big treads in the bottom. Dude, I was getting stuck on the floor in my guitar cable. Got marred all up with marshmallows from where I was stepping on it.
And you got video of this, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I remember seeing it. It looked like it was snowing.
Yeah, it was hilarious. It looked great, but it was horrible, man. I remember I had after the show, and drag queens were pissed because the whole stage was marred.
First, they had to play.
It was marred up with and I got the show, and I told them all. I said, "I'm going to open because this is drag queens now." I was like,
"Yeah, yeah."
Let them do middle and last. I'll open. And yeah, drag queens wasn't happy with that one because they were up there going, trying to trek through fucking melted marshmallows. And the chicken fight, that was the one I tried to get us in trouble with that one. Yeah. That's illegal.
Well, yeah.
That's illegal. Mm-hmm. And we were right in front of the police station at the one downtown, Ground Zero. Sure enough, we didn't practice none of this shit ever. So sometimes it came off funny, sometimes it just was dumb. Yeah. This was a dumb one. One of my buddies, we just got a new drummer, Phil Harrelson, and he was a redneck from hell. Awesome dude, loved him to death. But he brought one of his cousins who had, he fought chickens. Mm-hmm. So I was like, dude, you need to bring chickens up on stage and fight them. So here he comes. Brings up two cages while we're setting up. Puts two chickens cages, and Flounder was in on this one. Put up two chicken cages right there in front of the monitors. And the cousin, I can't remember the cousin's guy's name, whatever. He opens the cages, they come out, and they just stand there and look at each other. Didn't realize they don't fight in the dark. Because the stage was kind of dim lit. So I just walked over and kicked one. I kicked it. No, I didn't kick the shit out of it. I didn't brutalize it.
Just nudged it with your boot.
I nudged it. Thank you. I nudged it. I didn't kick it. I nudged it into the other chicken, and they kind of went bang bang a couple times, and that was it. And then they didn't do shit. But what was so fucked up, cousin, the guy that owned the chickens, he's drunker than shit, comes running up through the crowd in his underwear, nothing but underwear, whitey tighties, grabs one of the chickens, tears his fucking head off.
Oh, shit.
With his mouth. And the chicken goes straight up under Phil's drum. Hi-hat stand. It gets caught under Phil's hi-hat stand, and it's just squirting blood all over his bass drum. And God almighty, after the show, there was like, oh my God, there was about eight fucking little twinkles, like 7 or 18, 19-year-old girls, crying. And they came up to me because they knew us. They kind of knew us from other shows. Crying about, I can't believe you did that. I'm like, I didn't do shit. I said, that dumbass over there done it. And, you know, tore the fucker's head off. And the chicken went, yeah, of course, you know how chickens do without their head. He went right up on Phil's bass drum and just squirting blood everywhere. And then we got girls crying after the show.
Yeah.
And then the guy in question wanted me to sign his underwear. He had blood all over his underwear. I signed him. I didn't give a shit.
Is he still wearing them?
This was 100 years ago. I don't even know these guys no more. But
no, I meant, was he still wearing them when you signed them?
Oh, yeah.
No. He's probably still wearing them today, too.
You know, there's still one of those.
I don't have that one on video. I wish I did. That would be a great video.
I don't know the proper word. The maxi pads.
That was our first ever sticker, by the way. My idea.
Yeah. There's still one at the Milestone.
It's disgusting, too.
It looks like a fucking burrito.
From 96. It's on the... I got a picture of it.
One of the banisters. Mm-hmm.
From 96. It's gross looking. Like I said, I always try to think of these dumb things to do on stage. And I think that's what got us popular so fast, because we just kept doing shit.
Yeah.
And I just thought, it'd be cool. I stole a printing pad that you can put your own letters in from my piano job. And I said, Stickers. We need stickers. And back then, stickers wasn't cheap.
Yeah.
So I just went and bought these big old bunches of boxes of big humongous maxi pads, like the big heavy flow ones. And I stamped them in red, said Fat Tortoise Booker. And we got on stage. I was like, anybody want some free stickers? And everybody's like, yeah! And we just started chunking maxi pads. Just said Fat Tortoise Butcher on them. That was my idea.
Dude, that thing, it's like...
It's disgusting.
It's like puffed out.
It's still there, I think.
Yeah, right? Yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah. It is.
Yeah. But yeah, I was always merchandising something.
Yeah.
Like I used to do this thing too. I'd go to the record store and get all this free shit. Because I was a regular guy. Mm. And they'd give me all the stuff they get free, like samples and stuff. Yeah. Just dumb shit. Just dumb crap. And I remember I'd just walk in with this big box of CDs, tapes, stickers, whatever. I'm like, anybody want free CDs? And they're like, and I just throw them out. I'm like, oh, I didn't say it was our CDs. Yeah. I had one dude come back and fucking throw it in my fucking right at my feet. Like, you goddamn son of a bitch. I was like, I didn't say it was our CDs. I just said a free CD.
Was it like Whitney Houston or something?
Yeah, it was something silly.
Ray Cyrus.
It was something silly. Oh, he was pissed. He was mad as hell. We throw out videos. I'm like, hey, anybody want a new video for free? Of course, they thought it was us. Hmm. Yeah, they didn't like that very well. Some people laughed about it, but that one dude was pissed. I thought I was going to have to fight his ass. But luckily you walked off. We got was good. But I mean, that's the shit we done at shows, man. I remember one time in the middle of sea bass, we mocked the goddamn whole mosh pit floor while the drummer just kept playing.
Yeah.
We just walked out there with a mop bucket and started mopping the floor. I got that on video, too. In between sea bass. See, we got a pause in sea bass. I don't know if you ever heard it or not.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, in the middle of it, we always done something stupid. Mm-hmm. Like a stupid song or whatever. But we got to the point where we do dumb shit. Like in Gastonia, it was a family event, so we didn't want to do nothing bad. Like there was kids there and shit.
Yeah.
So what we done in the middle of sea bass, we just looked at the drummer and just went... And we just set our shit down, walked off, and went to the damn hot dog stand, ate a hot dog. Me and the bass player, while he played drums. We just wanted to do dumb shit. Anyway, sorry about all these sidetracks.
No, these are great stories. These are great stories. As far as like, like you said, Fat Tortoise Butcher's pretty much never ended.
Oh, hell no. I've been doing this shit for since 95.
95. Yeah. Well, that ain't got nothing to do with Turtles, apparently. I was a year off. That came out in 96. So that was...
Oh, about that, the story about that was we were laughing about the guys asking $100 for it.
Yeah.
For our demo tape.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I wrote him, and he called me back on the phone. And I told him, I said, dude, I don't have a copy of that. Mm-hmm. I said, I'd love to buy that from you. I said, you are not going to sell that for $100. And he's like, well, I don't know, man. He said he bought out a record store in Ohio. Mm-hmm. And that's where he got it from. And back then, I was shipping CDs or cassette tapes everywhere.
Yeah, we used to do that, too.
Yeah.
Addresses out of Back on Rock and Roll or find people
in spot course. I would get, I still got a whole notebook full of letters from Spain, Italy, mm-hmm. Canada, Germany, just the people getting our cassette tapes. But obviously, this guy just rolled up on a record store and found it and thought it must be some kind of, you know, gem.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, dude, you're not going to get $100. I said, I'll give you $10 for it right now. Mm-hmm. And he's had that thing for, well, since you told me about it, this was 5-6 years ago when I talked to him. He still got it to this day. Mm-hmm. And I wrote him again when he told me about it the other day. And I offered him $10 again, and he said no.
I don't know how it came through the grapevine where I saw it.
I saw that on eBay for $80.
Yeah.
And I wrote that guy and said, you do know that I'm the guy that done that. And I said, you do know that I sell those still to this day for $5. But he did write back. He said, well, I just thought it was some kind of, you know, rare something because he didn't see it on eBay. Mm-hmm. So I said, well, just letting you know, I said, good luck.
Yeah.
I said, but I don't think you're going to sell for no $80.
That's like me whenever I go to see like other record sellers, and like I went to the Misfit Market today before I came over here, and there's a guy that's set up over there that's never set up before, and I was like, oh, let me go look at his records. And I started thumbing through them, and I'm like, he's got a lot of stuff I've got, but it's twice as much. Like,
really?
Do you want to sell this stuff, or do you just want to hold on to it? Like,
I need to make it to your store.
That's something I miss too, man, is going record shopping, dude. Mm-hmm. I'd love to come to your place, man. It's just, I just can't do it no more.
Yeah.
I can't stand for like a long period of time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it makes me mad when I walk in somewhere and I just got to turn around and come out. I used to love, dude, I think my record time in a record store was 8 hours.
Oh, yeah. Just I don't know if I ever spent that long at one, but...
Yeah, it was playing again records in Valdez. Are they still open?
Yeah, they're still open. I haven't been there, but I've heard they've got, at least at one time, they had a ton of stuff, and you could spend all day in there.
Dude, they got... It's like a whole... It's like the Never Ending Story bookstore.
Yeah.
They got shit everywhere. Mm-hmm. Everywhere.
I've never been there. Awesome. And it's like the way...
Dave.
The way you Dave's and everybody describes it.
Yeah.
Wabaton, I forgot about that. Yeah.
The way you guys described it, it was like Disneyland of record stores.
Dude, he's got tons of shit in there.
Because then there was like Selector and...
Selector was my favorite. Oh, do you want one? Huh.
I'm going to step outside.
You better.
Is that going to... It don't stink.
No, I'm fucking with you. I'm just fucking with you. You don't got to go outside. I'll deal with it.
No, but it does.
There's no bullet in my fucking face.
It's a big smoke.
There's no bullet in my face.
So I guess here in the past, I don't know how many years, the project's mostly just been just me here at home making.
Well, since 2000, I tried to remember this one.
I was going to say, when was the last show you played?
I think 2014 or 15. It was Tremont.
Okay.
And the reason I stopped was because I was working a job like fucking 15 hours a day. Mm-hmm. And that show at Tremont, I busted my ass to get there on time. Mm-hmm. I get there and it was when Brad from Chronic Disorder came in. He done our last CD.
Yeah, okay.
He done our last CD, but he wasn't like a really, he just wasn't a permanent member.
Yeah.
But he played with us and loved his drumming, so... Anyways, we recorded a CD with him and loved the CD. It turned out good. I'll hook you up with some stuff before you leave.
Okay.
But, it was 2014 we played Tremont, and, man, I busted my ass to get there, and I got there. I got my shit on stage. Hell, they done had their shit on stage. And I just got straight out of work, busting my ass all day. And I get on stage, and they just go, all right, time to go. I was like, dude, can I not grab a beer or something? You know, and I was like, dude, I just got tired. And plus, there wasn't like 50 people there.
Yeah.
And I just got tired of this. What's the point? Mm. Playing live, you know what I mean? And then that's when we just kind of disbanded.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Brad went on to go with Black Ritual. He played with Black Ritual for a while. Mm. And Randy, we just kind of parted ways.
Yeah.
And I just said, well, I got to keep putting stuff out. Mm. So I've been putting some stuff out here and there. Matter of fact, the last CD, I put that out by myself with help from, well, I called it From the Buffet. Mm-hmm. It's stuff from all of our old CDs.
Okay.
And like stuff that nobody's ever, or I've never put out before.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a, you know, a compilation kind of thing. And I've done some of the new stuff I've done by myself. I've done the new CD that we've done. It's on there. I done one song with Sean, one song with Jason Beam. He used to play with us a lot. I don't know if you remember him. Well, he's singing with Chronic Disorder now.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. And Jason was a big part of us. He was the guy. You call him, hey, we got a show. Okay. And he'd just show up.
Yeah.
And I got some good time out of him too. Jason was awesome, dude. Like I said, it was just. I just took over vocals because I got tired of people. Mm. And plus, I think we're better as a three-piece anyway.
Yeah.
You know? And, hell, everybody's always up my ass about, you need to do vocals anyway. I'm like, well, fuck it. I'll learn how to play and do vocals.
So when you make music now, it's just you play guitar, you play the bass.
I do everything right now.
Do you play the drums or do you use, like, the drums?
I do drum machines, Easy Drummer stuff. Yeah. But I do have stuff I play drums on.
Yeah.
I'm just not that good at.
Yeah,
I suck at double bassing.
I was getting ready to say a smart ass comment about drummers, and I was like, "Oh shit, Chad's still here."
Oh, I got man.
Drummers are the weirdest damn people I've ever.
Thank
met
you,
in my life.
Dude. I'm telling you, I have had at
and
least
singers. So singers are weird too.
Yeah,
singers
yeah, are yeah, bad. Yeah. And you know what I used to say? A singer that don't carry equipment, then they don't need to be in the band. They got too much time to get lead singer disease, man. If you ain't carrying shit to the stage, then
I'd like a singer that knows how to play an instrument besides just bring a microphone.
Yeah,
exactly.
Here's the cool thing: when him and I used to do before we got Yancey.
Oh God!
Isn't that his name, Yancey? Before we got him, and I used to give him shit about. This, like, made fun of him because, like, he would have these fucking records.
Oh, you're talking about drum drops.
Drum drops, mm-hmm. records. And he would either speed them up or slow them down for whatever. And yeah. He fucking made, he made records. He made tapes.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like.
Yeah. Drum drops.
Yeah.
Drum drops. You ever heard of them?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you remember them? There were four of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what I do. I'd that speed
was,
them up.
That like, was our first drummer.
Hell yeah. That's pretty disciplined.
But I'll tell you what, that's what gave me my great timing, is I learned how to play guitar to a, well, technically a click track.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because it was perfectly timed drums. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they got old fast. I mean, because it's just like a do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Hey, nobody complains about Phil Rudd.
That's true. But I can play drums. I just suck at double bass.
Yeah, yeah.
And see, drummers hate my guts. If me and him start playing and writing music, you'll probably hate me too. Because right now, we're just planning on doing stuff that's already wrote. So we shouldn't have no trouble. But, dude, every drummer I used to play with, they'd come in and just do normal 4/4 stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, nah, man, you throw a splash in here, do this here.
Yeah.
Because I love to hear drums. I want to hear a drummer fucking ass and elbows, man.
They're the ones that lazy sell the shows. They're the ones that sell the shows. They're the ones that keep you locked in.
I'm a guitar player, and I'm not that kind of guitar player.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to use the word humble, but... I don't want to be the shiner. I want them damn drums just rocking ass, man, and doing a lot of work. And like I said, that's why drummers hate me. Hell, ask any drummer that used to be in my band. They'd probably. I'd love to hear that conversation. I would. Because most of them left pissed off.
Yeah.
So.
I do have drummers on the podcast every now and then, so it's possible, you know. Phil could be on here one of these days.
Oh, God, I bet Phil would. You'd probably tear my ass apart.
Although I usually don't like the people to talk too bad about anybody
else on the podcast. Well, that's why I told John I'm not going to do none of that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I always say that when it comes to when you're talking about a band breaking up, you can tell me as much as you want, but at the end of the day, I'm probably going to make it sound kind of nice. I'm not going to talk about it. I've had people get pissed off at the podcast and things, and I'm like, I don't even know what they're pissed off about. So,
well, John knows this. John knows this from day one. They ain't but one person that I've ever had in my band that I fucking just don't like. Mm-hmm. And I do not associate with. Yeah. And he knows who it is.
Yeah.
But, and I'm not going to say it because there ain't no point in it. But, yeah, I'm just making a joke. Drummers hate me.
Yeah.
They do, man. They fucking hate my guts. Like I said, I'm that Dave Mustaine guy going, nah, man. More double bass.
Well, see, we had that in Van Huskins too, because Eric and Ben are brothers.
Yeah.
But like, Eric was really particular about how he wanted the drums, and so Ben would have these little ideas like, I want to do this, and then yeah. Like, no, that doesn't work. And Ben would always try to sneak it in, and it's like,
oh,
Eric told him, Eric told him, he's like, man, you're not going to get away with it. This is my band. He told us that from the beginning. This is my band. I'm like, all right, Eric, whatever.
Oh, okay. Well, I've never done that.
Him and Ben would butt heads over it a little bit, but it was very rare that Eric would tell Ben, no, do something different. But if he did, he really wanted it done.
Yeah.
And Ben would have to do it.
Well, my asshole tiredness. The tyrantness came from nobody ever wanted to contribute nothing.
Yeah.
It was always me. I always had a recording system, like a 4-track, 8-tracks, whatever. And I'd record through the week and let them hear. I'd have drums, bass, guitar, vocals. Mm-hmm. What do y'all think? Well, okay, well, fuck it. I guess we'll do it then.
Yeah.
You know, but embellish on the drums, because my drumming crap was just it was just there to keep time. I wanted the drummer to embellish.
Well, I think the bands that do collaborate more and bring more ideas tend to be more well-rounded bands.
Never had them. But, never had them.
You know, there's also some really killer bands out there. There's one guy's idea and one guy says, you're playing this.
But I don't do
this
that.
This is exactly how you're doing it, too.
I don't think I've ever said, do it this way or fuck off.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, there's, you know, it goes both ways, but it is nice to have people, to have other people bring ideas, though.
I don't think I do that. I don't know.
I don't think I do. I don't think I have.
No, I'm saying, you know,
you play with me a million times?
Well, you see,
I've never told you do it like this or fuck off.
In that, I was just the bass player. It's like, here's a riff.
Yeah, I'll show you.
Play with, you know, and that's how I do. And
I might show you, hey man, this is a cool bass line of this guitar riff. You do with it what you want. Now, if I don't like it, I'm going to tell you. But I'm not going to go, and fucking go down your throat.
My biggest thing is like,
I don't think I'm as bad as Dave Mustaine. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. No.
You know. I don't think I've ever said, this is my goddamn band, you better even fucking do this.
Let me think. Go back to the PTSDs of, you know.
Don't bring it up. I know he wants to. It's not about me.
Yeah.
I know what you want to bring up. Don't even do it.
Well, what else do we need to talk about?
Hell, I don't know.
Well, where are you going?
Who, me?
Yeah.
I was getting ready to stand up again. Oh, where am I going music-wise?
Yeah.
I'm still doing Friend of Chuck stuff. I'm still doing Fat Tour stuff. It's just slower. And
yeah.
Used to, I could pop out an album in a week. But now, I just sit and... Dude, I think I'm in a lull right now. Everything just sounds forced. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was getting ready to let these guys hear something I messed with the other day. I wrote it in like 5 minutes. And I tried to put vocals over it, but they just sound forced.
Mm.
It's going to be a Friend of Chuck thing, though.
So the Friend of Chuck stuff, it's different than Fat Tourist.
Oh, hell yeah, big time.
I was going to say, it must be way different for you to put a different name to it.
It's not like an acoustic country band or none of that shit. It's just, it's all over the place. I don't know how to describe it.
But it's not like heavy, like Fat Tourist Butcher at all. Yeah.
No, it's not heavy. It's kind of gay, actually.
He snuck it in.
What, gay?
You probably leave it in, too, that one.
Oh, did I say
that? No, it's like the way I know a Friend of Chuck song works, mm-hmm. I like to do a lot of vocal harmonies with myself. Mm-hmm. And if I start laughing, mm-hmm. that means it's going to be good. It's there's lots of hooks.
Okay.
Hooks and gayness. It's really a lot of gayness. Yeah. Seriously. But there's a lot of the lyrics are mostly about.
It is happy. It's happy. Yeah. So it is gay.
Yeah, it's pretty gay. You know, well, I guess we could use that term, huh? But, you know.
When you listen to it, you have a gay old time.
Shy, make your move. You know I want it. Your sexy room. You know you want it. We saw you found it. And I said, don't be afraid. Go ahead and touch it. I won't mind if you want it from here. Don't.
I love to do the gay vocals, like with the high, like the Bee Gees style. See my cool Bee Gees poster? That's from the 70s, by the way. I bet that sucker would be worse.
Oh, yeah, I bet so.
It's two-sided, too. Looks like one of them record store things.
Yeah, it definitely is.
Yeah. I've had that since I was a kid.
Now, the record is not worth much money, but that thing would be worth some money.
I bet it would be. I've never seen one on eBay.
That thing would be worth some money.
Even though it looks like shit.
Actually looks pretty good for his age.
Yeah. But, that always goes behind the drums in Fat Tortoise's practice building, just to let you know. Anytime you see a practice video of us, that's right behind the drums.
Yeah.
BGs.
You should get that as the what do you call it?
I thought about when every one of them died, I was going to put X's across their face, but I figured, no, I don't do that.
Aren't they all gone?
No, I think Barry's still alive, ain't he?
I'm pretty sure he's still alive.
I think he's still alive. The main one.
Oh, the main one.
He looks like Troy from Deviant.
Oh.
Yeah.
See it?
Yeah.
I used to give Troy hell about it. I don't know if you knew, but Troy used to live here with down here. With,
okay.
Me and him used to hang out all the fucking time.
Yeah.
All the time.
I don't really know him. I remember both him and Doug from Deviant from back in the day.
He's in Texas now. He plays in a Typo Negative.
Oh, really?
Cover band. Yeah. From what he says, he says they're pretty. Zero Tolerance is the name of them.
Yeah.
He says they're pretty prominent down there.
Well, I mean, most of the cover bands are the tribute bands around here. They bring a crowd.
Oh, of course they do.
My friend runs the Rooster in Gastonia, and he says,
I love to play the Rooster, man.
He's like, we struggle to get people out here for punk rock shows, but if I get like a, it don't matter what tribute band
cover
it is,
bands, dude,
I'll have a full room.
It's crazy.
So he's got to book a couple of months just
to kind weird.
Of pay his bills, really.
I never understood that. I just always told people I will never play in a cover band because, well, that kind of cover band, people come to see you.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as like...
just a regular cover band, a pub bar band, that's just
your background music. All you are is a damn jukebox. Yeah,
I've considered that maybe one of these days, I'm not ready for it yet, maybe one of these days I might do the tribute thing just on the side for some extra money.
I don't know who I'd want to tribute.
I don't think I would. I know exactly who I want to tribute. I thought this is my idea. I want to start a band that does Blue Oyster Cult, and Fugazi.
Holy shit!
Like, we just alternate the songs.
Wow, that's crazy.
Either call it blue. I mean, think about what's that.
That's crazy.
I'm Burning for You. Hell, that's almost a fucking ska song if you play it right.
Call it Fugazi.
Yeah, but Fugazi wasn't food.
Fugazi. Or Fug Oyster Cult. I don't know. That idea popped in my head.
That's pretty cool.
But it'd be hard to sell that one.
No, I'm not above doing a cover song, but I'm only going to do a cover song that I want to do.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it for the crowd.
Yeah, that's what we always
do. Yeah, we used to do all kind of crazy shit. Georgia Satellites was always a big one.
Oh, yeah.
Anytime you get in front of a bunch of rednecks and play that,
yeah.
You win them over in a heartbeat. Goddamn it, I forgot it. Pocket full of, what the hell is it? I can't even remember now.
Pocket full of,
I got a little change in my pocket going. Gonna call you on the telephone, baby.
Every time we do that at a redneck bar, everybody be like, keep your hands to yourself.
Yeah, that's the name of the song.
That's where everybody start chowing in, and then after that, we can play thrash metal. And they dig it.
Yeah.
It was weird. It's fucking weird, man. You play thrash after Georgia Satellites, and then they like you all of a sudden.
Yeah. We got to give them something familiar. That's why cover bands and tribute bands,
yeah.
That's why they do so well, because people know the songs. They know they can go there and they can sing along with it.
Yeah, we done Hey Y'all for a while.
Yeah.
The Outcast song.
We played with this one band in Wilmington, and they were a cover band, but every song were the same three chords.
Yeah.
They Ramones? Would like do like the, huh?
The Ramones?
No. I mean, they would do like Jesse's Girl. They would do like 80 shit, and it's all this three.
It's all the same chord progression.
That's pretty much it anyway, right? That's pretty much how it works anyhow.
Yeah, there's some chord progressions that got used so many times.
Well, like I said, I don't think there's...
This sounds like something else. Just like, go ahead and play it. It don't matter.
Yeah.
I don't think there's really nothing new out there, man.
There's not.
I've been listening to this dude named Ren. Have you heard that? Mm-hmm. Man, he is fucking... He is
definitely... You turned me on to him.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
It's definitely different. Mm-hmm. It's different. It's an English kid. And it's different. He does great lyrics, which I'm not a big lyric... I don't care about lyrics, really, but I do recognize good lyrics. But... And the music's all over the fucking place.
Yeah.
And his singing style is crazy, too. He's a kid, man, which is crazy. But yeah, it's Ren. It's R-E-N, right?
R-E-N, yeah.
Yeah, R-E-N. Yeah. And he's got a hell of a catalog, too. He's got a lot of stuff. Yeah. Yeah, you can go down a wormhole on him on YouTube.
Yeah.
He's got some great songs. But yeah, I listen to all kind of shit anyway.
Yeah.
But Fat Tortoise Butchers. I got tons of merchandise for sale.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, to let people know where they can find the music.
Lardcore.net. We got hot sauce, goddammit. Yeah. Yeah. We got panties.
Yeah.
For the women's and men if they want to wear them. I'm trying to get a dude to buy a pair so I can get a picture with them wearing them. So I can put it on the site.
I think you asked me one time, and I'm like,
I don't think you can fit them. I got it.
Nobody wants to see that.
Nobody wants to see it.
If you could, hey,
no, don't. You're looking at my junk anyway.
If
stop.
If you can wear them,
I'm feeling right. I feel the heat.
My gaze
at my goodies.
Now, I got a buddy in Shelby. I think he'd do it, but I can't never get him to come down here. But yeah, I'm still like with John. I told him if I can get my damn health back up, and we were talking with Chad. I ain't talked to you about it, but John said he has. But you know, the drummer's the hardest part to find, dude.
Just
letting you know. And now that you're fat, now you fit in just fine. Yeah.
He says thank you.
Yeah. And by the way, hey,
52 and
40 pounds extra in 2 years.
If you got 10 bucks, I got a shirt that'll fit that gut.
This one's just fine, bro.
Well, goddamn, we need a fat tortoise shirt. If you get in the band, I'll give you one, I reckon.
But thank you, James.
I just got to make my money back. I just don't like blowing money on merchandise and losing money. I got like $9 or something in them. I sell them for 10. So, see, that's what I was going to tell you, too, was like if we were doing shows, I could sell the fuck out of merchandise, but I'm just selling it on.
Yeah, it's hard to do when you're just
sitting here.
Yeah.
But
the lardcore.net, you can get some.
Yeah, you can get all the CDs and stickers and tapes and or not tapes. We ain't got any more tapes. I'm gonna whittle it down to just shirts and CDs.
Yeah.
Which hell, I don't think CDs are even worth nothing no more.
Yeah, but I mean, you kind of have to be playing shows. But you know, you sometimes buy them just to have them, man. Especially if you do it for $5.
Oh yeah, I'll usually sell them for $5. Yeah. But
some people still listen to them. I still listen to CDs.
Dude, everybody, all my music friends. Some of my music friends, they don't even have CD players no more.
Yeah, I know. That's just crazy. Like,
that's insane.
You want to sell a CD, but you don't even have your own CD player.
Yeah.
And I'm not doing cassette tapes no more. And I'm not doing no more panties. Once they get gone, they gone. Because that was a pain in the ass getting those things done.
Yeah.
But yeah, got keychains, all kind of dumb shit. Lighters. I got one lighter left.
You're like the Gene Simmons of...
I wish I was.
And where can people listen to the music? Same place?
Well, it's on Larcore.net. Yeah. But, well, the only reason I hate pushing this website is because I'm going to drop it after a year. Mm-hmm. It's not worth keeping.
Yeah.
Because like I said, I can't promote it nowhere, really.
Yeah.
And, but YouTube, man...
Yeah,
YouTube. If you know how to spell tortoise, you can look up Fat Tortoise Butcher, and there's like 50-something videos on there. I try to keep that kind of updated, kind of. But yeah, I got some newer songs on there that's not made it to CDs yet.
Yeah.
So, and plus there's some good videos of like shows and shit like that, you know. Yeah. There's some nefarious stuff on there.
The marshmallow incident, is that on there?
No, I got to go back. See, all the... I don't know how to say this without the name. I don't like promoting the first 2 years worth.
Yeah.
I'd rather promote the last 15 to 18 years. That's why I don't put those videos on there.
Yeah.
I figure, hell, what's the point?
Yeah.
I might put one or two. Well, I think there is one or two on there of the original.
Yeah.
But I just figured I'd do that just for any of the old fans, I guess. I still get people asking about the first couple, 2, 3, 4 years.
Yeah.
I'm just like, dude, I've been doing this shit for so long, I don't even think about those days.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and I've got a ton of VHS stuff of old shows from Milestones. Yeah. I'm trying to figure out something to do with them.
I'm working on a digitizing project right now. The only thing is it's slow going because it's...
Trust me, I know that takes a lot of time.
It does, and it's one of like a dozen things that I have to do, like that I've loaded my plate with. So, I guess we should kind of wrap it up, though.
That's cool.
I mean, I'm at about a little over an hour and a half.
But
I'd
like to
keep it at...
Good enough.
If I don't record a bunch of extra stuff, that's less editing I have to do.
Gotcha.
Right.
So I love it. But
I think I got everything out fat tortoise wise. I mean, like I said, we just tell them stories, and I do want to get the friend of Chuck out there too.
Yeah. And I'll play some of that on the podcast.
Cool.
Play music on the podcast.
Gotta do Poopy in the Pines.
Yeah, I'll play that. I usually, especially if we talk about something, I like
to play. Well, it starts out the first. You can cut this out. I'm just gonna say it because everybody's here. The first line is at 6, I rub dicks with a boy named Poopy. That's the first line. And I didn't write that, by the way. That wasn't my line. But, here's something funny for the podcast, maybe. I love how people, we call that, I can't think of the word. That's another, I get the brain word farts bad. How they convey your lyrics.
Yeah.
one of my biggest songs, or one of our biggest songs, was Willie Lick My Twizzler. And I remember we'd go to shows, and some, they'd be like girls asking me, did you bring Willie with you? I'm like, no. But what the point is, the song is about my cat licking a Twizzler. Simple as that. It says it in the song. Hairball infested tongue licking my Twizzler. They, shit like
they
that.
Interpret.
Yeah, yeah.
That
one of my buddies come over here the other day, redneck motherfucker from hell. He said, I was letting all my friends listen to Willie Lick My Twizzler. And of course, I'm sure he's got rednecker friends. And they go, he's singing about sucking dicks. I said, there's not a damn word in that song about sucking dick. And then he goes, no, they're talking about you sucking dicks. Like I'm singing a song about me sucking dicks. I said, where the fuck did you get this shit from? That's how they interpreted Willie the Twizzler. Because his name's Willie. That's why. Dude, that was my cat's name, was Willie. And it's a girl.
The black one.
Yeah, the black. Well, it's the picture right there on the door. Willie Lick My Twizzler. Now I'm a dick sucker. Now I'm a goddamn dick sucker.
That's the tagline. Right there.
Yeah, I need to write a song. Now I'm a dick sucker. It's just funny how people interpret stuff.
One time in a war.
Like when you was asking about Fat Tortoise Butcher, everybody thought we was killing turtles. And I thought, I guess you could get that from that, but...
Yeah. Well, the Accidents had a song called Cannibal Girl, and everybody thought it was about sucking dick. But it was about, you know, Cannibal Girl, because she eats meat or whatever.
Oh, yeah?
But it was about a cannibal girl that Eric saw on some kind of documentary about a tribe of cannibals.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, one of the girls was kind of cute. Called Cannibal Girl about that. Everybody thought it was like one of those, you don't eat meat, but sure like the bone kind of things.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody kind of thought it was like that. It's like,
nah. That makes me sound bad because you said you thought one of them was cute. I used to have a saying about, I was wanting to write a song about it, but I'd probably get hell for it, I'm sure, about how I used to go to this website called Gimps Gone Wild.
Stop it.
Check it out. And I came up with this. I think it's still online.
And my job is to eat things. One really fun thing I get to eat is Twizzlers candy. It makes me happy.
Thought it was cute. Willie licked my Twizzler.
sound pretty good too.
Let's just say we're probably all going to hell for things that we've jerked off to.
No, I didn't jerk off to it.
You know, no, there is a magazine that's called Nugget.
Huh?
And it's all like all.